Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Dzogchen count is called Blue Self-Existing Monkey, and it is the fourth day of the Yellow Star Wave Spell, and it is also Cosmic Moon Day 7, which is the completion of the first week of the Cosmic Moon. And I'd like, mostly on this podcast, to try to orient us to enduring and transcending this cosmic tone of the 13th moon, because the entire moon that we're in, named cosmic because it is the 13th of 13, is a heightened energetic experience of our year called Red Cosmic Moon, which is the 13th year in a cycle of 13. So let me break that down, especially if you're just learning about the 13 moon calendar, which is, for the Maya, an orientation to a year beginning on July 26th, not January 1st. So their year absolutely begins July 26th. It's when Sirius rises with the sun at dawn at the horizon line, and the Maya found that auspicious and chose it for their new year's beginning. And the 13 moon year is a cycle of 13 months that are 28 days long. And they are in a wave formation called a wave spell, which I talk about all the time because the wave spells also exist in the Dzogchen calendar. And so just, you know, hear that, a 13-day count or a 13-moon count, a 13-month count, that is a wave spell. And it has a certain arc of building to a peak and then breaking. It is the foundation of natural time, that we would see the passage of time not as linear, not as a grid like a calendar, but as a wave in motion, a wave form that exists in all facets of existence. I like to talk about ocean waves because most of us recognize the shape of them easily. And so the wave spell of 13 moons or 13 days, it looks like that. It rolls up from the surface of the ocean to a peak, and then it curls over on itself. In white water, it falls apart, and then it settles again. And then its last stage of calming, until the surface of the ocean feels glassy again. Like, it's hard to remember that there was a wave. Where did it go? It was just here. There was froth. Now it's still again. That's the cosmic moment that we're in. After the wave has broken, settled, and practically disappeared, what we have is our memory of it. It's a sense memory. Like, wait, I just went through this. It's not just a visual memory. We felt our way through the chaos of a tumbling wave. And yet it's still again. And then there's an anticipation that, wait, is that a current that's starting again under the surface of the ocean? Yes, I feel it. Either I'm having, you know, a clairvoyant sensibility. I can predict it with my mind's eye, or I can again sensually pick up that there is water moving deep below me, but it's going to surge and I'm going to be able to see it as the next wave form. And so that's the experience of the cosmic time, It's a remembrance, kind of a successful remembrance of the wave that was. Like, it's over and I achieved something. I grew, I expanded, I moved forward. And it is the recognition that it's not really over because there's always another one. And what I find about the cosmic moon this time of year is it really has the feeling of summer. It is sort of spacey, and you can probably find yourself willingly in nature, whether you're doing something in water or you're just out in the sunshine. Like, there is a invitation in the northern hemisphere at this time of year to break away from a lot of the man-made experience and heighten our relationship with nature. And some of that's ingrained in festivals from ancient times, and some of it's just sort of the summer vacation feel that goes along with having school children, and we were school children, and we still probably seize on that. Like, it's summer, I want to be more free, I want to have more spaciousness and expansion, and that is the feeling of this time. Some of the words that Jose Arguelles chose were to endure and transcend presence. We endure what's uncomfortable until we transcend it, and that brings us into a really powerful present moment experience. And it continues to be transcendent, because being very present might feel connected to your idea or experience of divinity. Now, what's remarkable about this cosmic moon right now is that it is a cosmic moon within a cosmic year. Because the year that we're in, which started July 26, 2018, almost a year ago, is called Red Cosmic Moon, and it is the 13th year of a 13-year cycle. It's the cosmic year of a 13-year wave spell. So we're in this doubling of energy. It's exponential. In two different counts, we're in the cosmic time, and it's a long stretch. It's 28 days of this doubling of energy. And it is the final moment of a 13-year cycle, as well as a 13-moon cycle. And in fact, as I'll talk about in a bit, since it's the end of the Zolk'in as well, everything is finishing. And the way things seem to finish in natural time, or in the Mayan spiritual code of time, is in expansion, in being one with the cosmos. And that's a lovely way of sort of being like, out there. I'm really out there, man. I'm here, but I'm one with the cosmos. We don't pinpoint our tiny form of humanity, you know, whether it's our personal relationships, our job that we perform at every day, our different recreational activities, or again, what we do for entertainment, like how much internet we take in. All of that's happening in a secondary way, because I believe that our attention is actually on being one with the cosmos, of being cosmic. It may not be conscious that we're doing that, but if we can't get focused on the things that I just listed, our everyday activities that we're used to expending time on, it's because we are being called, it's being demanded of us, that we feel the cosmic moment. It would be interesting if you were able to think back to the summer of 2006 and imagine if anything really was starting in that time. Maybe you didn't literally start a new project, or even an aspect of your life changed decisively in that moment, but probably you could find activities or events that were happening then that did indicate a pattern or a resurgent theme that would play out over all these years since. And it might be in the theme of Red Moon, which is what these 13 years have carried as their tribe, as their one Mayan totem, That would be maybe purification of your life, a cleansing of some kind, because red moon is the element water and how the moon influences water. So you might have been practicing going with the flow for 13 years, whether you realized it or not, or you were caught up in tidal movements, that it's been an emotional 13 years, or maybe just a 13 years of swaying almost in ways that you couldn't exactly control. You know, you couldn't keep yourself rigid in these 13 years because it's been all about the softening of ourselves in a watery element, being in the flow with floods and droughts, but nonetheless having our attention somehow on the element water. And what is our relationship with the moon? Again, that's a tidal influence. It's shadows and light playing out in the night sky, reminding us of polarity. I would say that it reminds us that we are vulnerable to gravitational influences of all the planets, that the moon is kind of the obvious emblem because it moves our oceans, but there's all of space with the planetary bodies. And even though I don't know a lot about planetary astrology, I know in natural time that that's all held within the concept that we're here to simplify our lives, make it more organic, naturalistic, primal, and ancient and indigenous as we best can, so that we are aware of things like the influence of astronomy on our physical beings and our psyches. So we've had 13 years of red moon, and I'm just reminding you to look at your own life cycle and create some kind of ceremony, even if it's just a state of mind, about this cycle completing very soon. Feel yourself in a completion phase. It is hard to start things. I'm doing a little bit of finishing of things. I'm trying to finish some things before the end of the cycle, but they feel very much like they were all birthed within this time. It's not an innovation for the next cycle. It's a neatening and a ripening of what has been rich in the time of the last 13 years. And I think this sort of dwarfs the experience of the last year, i.e. the last 13 moons. I am more consumed by the grandiosity of a 13-year cycle concluding than I am the year finishing, and partly because this whole year has been cosmic, and so the whole year has been a conclusion of the 13-year wave spell. And so right now it's just, again, that doubling, deepening of the teaching of the cosmic tone, which is inviting stillness and non-resistance and not really even acceptance, but just awareness that we are not in an action state. We're in a state of inaction, of witnessing, of being present, which is hard to grasp. It is hard to arrive at this place. And that was what I said last podcast, like how amazing to be here without any effort. And I think around the patriotism or presumed patriotism of a national holiday in the United States, that it doesn't feel as cosmic for a moment. There's friction. There's the desire to be one with everything, the cosmos and all of the humans and all our cells intermingling on some cosmic level. And then there's the faction or in partisan culture that we're all steeped in for the moment, where we separate ourselves and feel different. And It's a war. It's, you know, I talk about the moon showing us shadow and light, and I believe a lot of us feel that we are either stuck in the shadow or that we are the light holders who are being ignored. I mean, that's just a conceptual way of sometimes owning that we feel cast out and sometimes wanting to cast out the other. You know, I'm the light holder, you need to get away, or I'm in the dark over here, and I am not being given the time and the light that I need or deserve. Like, those feelings are natural, but there's so much unresolved human conflict, which must be part of a larger cycle that we're still unwinding, that I just wanted to say that the cosmic moon is kind of clashing with current events at the moment, and I think it moves the feeling of oneness to a feeling of like I can't get a hold of traction that makes me feel grounded. I'm floating away into the cosmos. Yeah, so that's that. I'm going to continue in these installments until the year ends because I feel like we have to talk about it. It's right in front of us. We cannot ignore the completions that are enacting before our eyes and through our cells. And in a mirror, then, the Zolk'in also concludes shortly. Sooner than the end of the year, we complete the Zolk'in. We're on day 4, and we only have 9 days left, and then the Zolk'in ends. And the Zolk'in always renews. It doesn't really have a sense of a new year. We're not imitating our ceremonies from the Gregorian calendar with January 1st or December 31st. We don't take on that modeling when we're dealing with the Zolk'in. The Zolk'in is built to end and renew in a really fluid way. But what I would say is that the Zolk'in ends very much like the cosmic moon. It just ends in a place of ether. We have joined the stars. In Yellow Star, we are traveling out into space and being there, you know, being either on fire, heat and light, like a true star, or a perceived star, like a planet, you know, or in a different orbital than the Earth. I mean, that sounds a little cosmic, I guess, but I guess my suggestion is just that we are stars right now. We're not humans. We're not having an emotional experience or a physical one the way a human is. We are delivered into the sky, and it's awesome. It's absolutely parallel to everything I've already said about the cosmic tone. And so we have this coinciding of completion and of being larger than life or larger than the human scale life. And it's precious. It's hard to podcast from the state of mind. You know, I feel inebriated, but I absolutely am not. It's not really my mode, but it's difficult to get traction on ideas and words when we are delivered to this altered state that's entirely organic of being stardust and heavenly. So let me talk for a moment instead about the days that are coming, because they are not yellow star days. And currently, you know, we're in Blue Monkey. And then we have, following that, the yellow human, yellow overtone human on Thursday, the actual 4th of July. And then on July 5th, Friday, we will be in red rhythmic Skywalker. And then Saturday, July 6th, will be white resonant wizard. And let me start with Blue Monkey. This day is part of the problem, maybe, of my state of mind. I didn't think about it early on, and I don't need to think about it a lot anymore. But this was the same Zolk'in day as 9/11. It's always really hard to talk about 9/11 through Mayan astrology because it's a Blue Monkey day, which would seem to represent child nature, playfulness. Blue Monkey is very much like the trickster coyote in Native American mythology. It's a deity or a sort of ascended master running around in an earth form whose great talent is playing games and kind of the magic of illusion, tricks of the mind, tricks of the eye, and jokes and silliness and childlike innocence, you know, not a manipulative, pranky kind of joking, but more let's imbue ourselves with our child nature. And so I was studying the Zolk'in already when 9/11 happened, and it was early enough on that it was hard for me to wrap my head around that. And I'm not saying that every world event or your own personal life has to be exactly by rote connected to the tribe and tone of a Zolk'in day. But it's a rumination. Like, how was that day a Blue Monkey Day? And I guess what I came to is this really sad, the sad part of watching children. Like, it's not sad when it's children. When children kick over the block tower that they built, and maybe you've helped them build it as a parent even, and you're more invested in the tower than the child that really likes seeing it all blown away. And so I don't mean to be irreverent in marking that, but I think you just heard me describe a parallel. And the other part of it is that it's Paul McCartney's Mayan birthday, which, again, isn't the most relevant thing I would say, but they're connected as well. And so we mark this day, and it happens to be the eve of Independence Day, or the 4th of July. July 3rd is a Mayan or Zolk'in anniversary of 9/11. Pretty pivotal, crucial, demanding part of our democratic history in the United States. And then we jump into, you know, military parades and displays of largesse that also somehow correlate to our national memorial of the invocation of the United States and the democracy it represents. I am not trying to get us all caught up in that. It's just coexisting with Mayan teachings in this moment, and the Mayan astrology for the actual day, yellow overtone human of July 4th, is sort of perfect, because even though democracy has a lot of fairness and, you know, I would say compassion and tenderness, a feeling state of wanting to make sure that people are cared for individually instead of ceding all their power to an overlord, i.e. the King of England that we were escaping from in our War of Independence. Yellow human is very independent and free will oriented. It's the libertarian personality more than the socialist one. And so to have yellow overtone human is a doubling of intensity of willfulness, because overtone energy is very self-empowered. It's radiance, but it's also commanding, which to me is kind of like being bossy. And you can command the room. You can command someone's attention with your dynamic radiance in an overtone day. It's a great day for giving a speech in front of a monument, but you're also, you know, in danger of being pushy, demanding, or imposing your will on a situation and on others. And so is yellow human in its shadow. Yellow human in its shadow is too willful, is too much, you know, the climber of the food chain, trying to have some dominion over all the lesser species. That is the shadow of yellow human. The light of yellow human, the strength, the beauty of yellow human is almost right there in the name, yellow human, a radiant, glowing, illuminated, enlightened human. So filled with light, like Apollo, the sun god, that, you know, you move through life wanting to bring warmth, compassion, peace. I think yellow human, it sounds very much like Christ energy. And it remains to be seen tomorrow whether we have a day that feels like moving through the world as a figure of compassion and kindness, aglow, radiantly aglow, or if it's a little more of an imperial, willful part of our humanity. It sounds like I know which direction it's going, and I apologize for that. I don't know. I don't really know. And then on Friday, we'll have Red Rhythmic Skywalker, and rhythmic days, get to know them. They're about getting things done in a certain respect. It's creating a rhythm. It's a rhythm that will sustain us. We need a rhythmic day because either you're seeing us as, you know, we're on a journey and we need to pace ourselves. It's a long way to go. We're not sure where we're going. We need to ration our food and find our sources for water and get rest and be safe where we sleep at night. And, you know, either we're meeting up with people along the way or we need to be cautioned against, you know, some of the strangers in the dark waiting for us, beckoning us. All of that metaphor of what it's like in the fairy tale way of traveling comes into play on the rhythmic day because it is our best effort to be in good standing and good stead as we prepare ourselves to continue in our growth and expansion. And rhythmic means just getting things in rhythm, the way our heart is in rhythm, the way our organs are in rhythm unconsciously. We don't have to remind our heart to beat or our lungs to take in air. It happens without our control, I would argue. And so that's what happens on a rhythmic day, is that we don't try to get everything in rhythm. We allow the rhythm to take over us. And that looks pretty effectively like a day where we get stuff lined up, organized, we get it done. And yet it's a Red Skywalker day, which is sort of paradoxical because Red Skywalker is another spacey, cosmic-like moment. It's about spacing out in the daytime, being a Skywalker when the sky is just filled with light. And it's what feed plants to make them grow. The Skywalker is the invocation of plants reaching the sky and becoming abundant for an eventual harvest that will feed everyone through a long winter. This is when we want to spread ourselves right out into the sun realm, the clouds, the sky. It's all playing a role in attracting our attention, which is why it's another summer vacation feel. That's a pretty good day for a four-day weekend. And then when it's Saturday, we'll be in the resonant tone, the seventh tone of 13, which means it's the middle of the wave spell, the midpoint. The seventh day of 13 is exactly the middle day. And resonant means that we take a moment once we got our rhythm and we've had other evolutions earlier in the wave spell of 13 days, we take a moment to just be a channel between heaven and earth. And yeah, everything I'm talking about just sounds cosmic. Even the way I talked about yellow human was really pitching, like, be the Christ, you know, be the best illuminated human you can be. I guess that's just slipping into the Zolk'in experience, even though it's dominant in the red cosmic moon year that's completing. All right, so yeah, I think that when we're in white resonant wizard, we're going to be really out there as well, because a white wizard is the day of the shaman, and we are asked really to become healers that open ourselves to the flow of God, the healing power of God, whatever you call God, the great eye in the sky is passing through us on a white wizard day. We feel the presence of that in our everyday life experience. And so that's coupled with the resonant tone. It's just like I'm having a hard time talking about it because it's all just trippy. That's the theme right now, and that's good. Now, the last thing I want to do, I think I've talked about why things are hard, which is what I get into sometimes in these podcasts. Why is it hard right now? It's hard because you're enduring and transcending presence, which is not what we're taught. It's not what's advertised to do. It's not goal-oriented. It's the pause that we are never invited to take. Treat yourself, or, you know, just take time off. All of that looks anti-survival, almost self-destructive, if we're talking about like puritanical work ethics or competitive human instincts. So anyway, that's hard. It's hard to adjust to that. But it's so easy to adjust to it when it's everywhere right now. And what I would like to say in the last couple minutes is that I also celebrate Mercury retrograde. And it's the only part of what I call Western astrology that has the language that's more alien to me, actually, than Mayan astrology and Mayan teachings are infinitely more understandable to me than the zodiac. But I know there are passages and transits and there are retrogrades for every planet, but we're having Mercury retrograde and I know that one because it's astrology for every man. Anyone can understand Mercury retrograde if you read about it online. So do that if you don't already know. And if you do know, I celebrate the long version, meaning the pre-retrograde shadow, which we've been in for 2 weeks already. But right now, the shift is on to full Mercury retrograde, which begins on July 7th. And that will be the next podcast moment and Blue Galactic Eagle. But right now, we're in the difficult time. Anticipating the retrograde and the first days of the retrograde are the crunchy time when we are sensitive to everything changing. That means technology is more confounding or things seem to break. Mechanical things fail. For me, the reason I'm talking about it is because communication is my livelihood, whether it's speaking here, speaking to an individual client, or writing. Those are the things I do with my life around the Mayan code. And it is clunky for me when things are in the retrograde transit. And so I'm citing that the cosmic tone and the cosmic moon here and our cosmic year winding down, that is confounding me, making me sound a little lost in space. But so too is this impeding of my direct, clear communication. Mercury, the messenger, the planet of communication, is doing this backward dance in the sky. And my thoughts get jumbled and my tongue gets twisted and I lose my confidence. And yet, I will persist as best I can, but it needs to be named and it should be celebrated and I would say revered. The way that I approach Mercury retrograde is an absolute deference. I do the kinds of activities that are recommended, which is revisiting, remembering, repairing, renovating, anything that is sort of a going back and finalizing or completing things that are unfinished. If I can revisit it, I can edit writing that I used to do. I can finish projects that I've started. And that's effective. And it's also a very recessive time, I believe. It's a time to be inward. And yet we are in an inward time that is so vastly outwardly gazing into the stars, into the outer edges of our atmosphere and beyond this cosmic moment. So when one is solitudinous right now, we're surrounded by the energy of galaxies. And I don't mean to romanticize it. I'm not like a heavy visual intuitive or astrologer. I like to give metaphors, but I'm not like picturing myself out in the planets. Instead, I'm just feeling how spacious things are compared to everyday existence as I've known it for a while. And sure, it's the heat of summer or the vacation style of summer as well, but it's all unified. And it's not easy. I don't think it's easy going through the transit of retrograde turning, especially in our culture of dependency on technology and mechanized life experience. So your discomfort can mirror the panic state that sort of underlies a lot of this change time. Whether it's the cosmic tone or the retrograde, I think that people are a little uncomfortable in their skin as they're invited to go so far outward. And that's part of the reason I wanted to talk about it, because then I get comfortable in my own skin again, where I have to live just as you do. So please look up your birthday or others' birthdays at resonanttruth.com, so you can recognize little reference points to their Zolk'in energy or your own. And I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.